This is CliffCentral.com.
What's happening? 3rd of July. Hello and welcome to the Gareth Cliff Show with me, Ben Karpinski. And Poppy is here as well.
Good morning, good morning.
See, I'd like to take a roll call, but that's kind of where it ends, so I wasn't going to take too much further.
Orcs.
Yeah, Gord, unfortunately, he's a sickly young lad, so he is in bed today. He is with
On the day the actual cold front hits.
Yeah, sure. He's in bed with Corenza right now. I didn't think this was a time for romance, but anyway, there he goes. And but Gareth and Sia will be joining us today. Now, as you know, they're in London. They are doing a whole bunch of interesting interviews so that you are getting nothing but the best content when they return, because that's what we do here on CliffCentral.com. Now, yesterday we ran into some technical struggles, and I do apologize for that. I listened back to the podcast yesterday.
Did you?
Well, this is what frustrates
me. How diligent of you.
Well, you know, Poppy, I'm trying to get better at this. I do it every day. At some stage, I need to
go and you listen back.
Yeah, I find that kind of helps. Because
the
hardest parts, I mean, okay, you've been on conventional radio where there was format, there was a show, there was breaks, there was all these kind of things. So at any given stage, you probably had what? How long were you continuously either talking or assigning yourself to one aspect?
A minute max.
Okay, so here, we're like an hour. So the problem is, every now and again, we sometimes waffle, we sometimes lose our shape. So I find when I listen back to it, you can critique general flow. Because in my opinion, flow is, if we don't get the flow right in the show, it can be dreadful.
Oh my gosh, what did you get for my trick?
PlayStation and rugby.
What?
No, I didn't really apply myself to my academics in life. Yeah, so I listened back to the podcast. It didn't sound overly terrible, but yeah, it's unfortunate because when Gareth goes away, of course, we want to keep the show at a very high level for you. I mean, I know it's Cliff Central, it's the Gareth Cliff Show, but we always try to strive to give you great entertainment every single minute. So if we do have any other issues, apparently it's all been fixed, and I can say with great happiness that it wasn't actually my fault either.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
From time to time, I don't turn someone's microphone on. But yes, there's technical difficulties. We're not my fault. Not that I'm gloating or justifying my existence here. It's just that we have figured it out.
You're just setting the record straight. I don't blame you.
Yeah, just in case we get messages here saying, Ben, stop dropping the ball. So that is all out of the way. If you want to be in touch with the show, as per usual, you just need to get onto the WhatsApp or the Telegram, 079-748-2090. So it's just Poppy and I in the studio until the second hour, and then we're going to join Gareth and Sia. We're going to catch up with them and see what they're up to. Today's going to be very interesting. So we've got your general show. We've actually got a new feature that we're starting, which I shall tell you about in a few minutes, which is also very nice. But we've got Werner Becker coming in. Now, he has a new song, I'm With You. So we're going to play Werner's new song and also get to know him, because a lot of the musicians that we do get here are quite interesting in that they're not your conventional people who are looking for just airtime.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the guys that Sia does source, or these people do find us, there's a bit more of a story to it, and it's always nice to get to know these people and unpack their whole story. But then Poppy, in the third hour, we've got Neil Harbison. So if you're on your computer already and you're diligently at your office already, just Google Neil Harbison. He is the world's only cyborg. Now, I don't know how to describe this. Should I read the intro?
Please do, because I also need to find out what's
happening. Neil Harbison raises many eyebrows around the world just by being himself. The Catalan-raised, Northern Irish-born artist is best known for being the first person in the world with an antenna surgically implanted in his skull, and for being legally recognized as a cyborg by a government. His antenna sends audible vibrations in his skull to report information to him. This includes measurements of electromagnetic radiation, phone calls, music, as well as video or images which are translated into audible vibrations. His Wi-Fi-enabled antenna also allows him to receive signals and data from satellites. Since 2004, international media has described Neil as the world's first cyborg.
Okay.
Now, I'm taking this in as I'm reading it. And the world's first cyborg artist. Gareth gets to know more about him here as he explains his new implant on his knee, finds out how he hears colors, his experience of having his antenna hacked, coming to South Africa to speak to the SAS event, and donating his organs, including his antenna, once he's dead. Now, I should you not, the man has an antenna in his head. I was here when he was here.
And how does that work? Is it attached to his hair?
Is it in his ear? So basically on the crown of your head, there is a pretty large antenna, which then comes out from that part of his head, extends all the way towards the front. So the antenna can be seen by him. So it kind of just gets towards the top of the forehead.
But now is it in his head?
Yeah. It's in. It couldn't be more in. It has been surgically placed in there. It's part of him.
Yeah, a little weird.
It's part of him, and he still tries to wear a hat on top of it.
Oh my gosh.
Now, I know what some of you are probably saying bullshit right now. Some of you are probably claiming it. And if there was ever anyone to interview this guy, it would be Gareth. So I chatted to Gareth after he interviewed this guy last week, and he said this is very interesting. We'll see how it comes out. But yeah, this is another thing we try to do here. We try to give you the more unconventional of interviews.
And this guy is South African.
No, he is Catalan raised, so there's Spanish in there, but he's Northern Irish born.
Okay.
And he was here on official cyborg business. Sarah Connors. Yeah. So, how about that for a show? Aren't you glad you woke up so early?
Definitely listening to that.
Aren't you? Oh, fuck. It says here the live feed is broken. Martin, okay, thanks for that message.
Again.
See, Poppy, it doesn't really influence the podcast. So right now, podcast listeners are going, guys, we don't care. But live listeners.
Who are you?
But this is the double whammy. Live listeners can't hear us, so they don't care either because they can't. Anyway.
Obviously trying to hear us.
I'm trying so hard to hold this down. I'm trying so hard to seamlessly get through the show. All right, guys, I'm going to do what I can here. I'm just going to make sense.
What did you do? You called someone.
Yeah, I sent an email to tech support. That's going to hopefully solve everything.
That was a quick one.
Yeah, well, that's what I can do. I'm no cyborg. I don't have an antenna, but I can type really quickly. Okay, so we must get into the show. Of course, it was Poppy, it's your second week. Yesterday, we kind of ran out of time because I was obviously dealing with technical issues. And then you were telling us about being a paramedic. But how was your first week here at Cliff Central?
Wow, it was actually quite cool. A lot more calmer than I expected it to be. Although towards the end of last week, it started getting a bit raucous.
Yeah, that's what happens after the show. We have very strange people coming out.
Yeah, some characters, which I actually kind of like because I'm so used to being around crazy and weird and fascinating radio people. So first week was a bit tough getting up in the morning, but now I'm into it.
But you do. But you generally do arrive here with a bit more sort of pizzazz than anyone else has ever worked here. Like you seem to have more of a pulse about you.
Oh, I'm a morning person. I usually get up at 4:30. I just don't get out of bed at 4:30. So this has been quite a challenge to like shower, not be grumpy, make a coffee. It's been quite something. So I'm actually enjoying being up this early.
Okay,
it's been fun.
So far, so good. I think you're doing a good job at that. And it's good to have you here.
Yay.
We've got a lot of news stories to get through, of course, in our usual structure. But I told you there's going to be a new feature on the show today. So every Tuesday, there's, Well, let me start off by saying this. Are you germophobic?
Am I?
Yeah.
No, not terribly. But I do wash my hands before I eat every single time without fail.
Okay. Well, it's fine if you are germophobic. And, you know, we are a little bit OCD on this show. Mostly because Gareth does most of the talking and he's completely OCD. Anyway, so germaphobe, we can't blame you. According to a recent study, your home is dirtier than a chimpanzee's nest. So, just how dirty is your home? Well, listen to a brand new feature today on Cliff Central at 7:15 a.m. where we choose to not turn a blind eye on the dirt in your home. Every Tuesday, you'll hear about topics and matters that you often turn a blind eye to, brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters. Whether it's aesthetic contemporary security shutter or the stylish wood substitute, or perhaps the streamlined simplicity of Venetian, vertical, or roller blinds, Taylor Blinds and Shutters have you, your style, and your home covered. Now, it gives me such great joy when not only we get great clients here, but great clients who want to do great content. So we're going to be chatting to Sierra and Gareth around the whole thing about how clean your home is. This kind of stuff I always find fascinating talking to Gareth with because he lives in a museum, essentially, a museum of Gareth and cleanliness. So he's always very spirited about this whole topic.
Does he get sick often? Because if you're a germaphobe and you're also OCD, everything's going to be clean and that doesn't build your immune system much. It's healthy to have germs around.
But then he hangs around with Gordon and I, so there's the balance.
Okay, fair enough.
Now, Gareth is quite hardy, but then again, he did grow up most of his life barefoot. You know, Gareth grew up on a farm.
I didn't, where?
Gareth's like, Gareth's proper farm.
But where in Pretoria? Irony.
Yeah, but then like in KZN... I had this fascinating.
Do you guys believe this?
I've known Gareth for quite a while, and I've been lucky enough to get to know his family as well. His parents are amazing. Yeah. And his dad has the greatest stories, like the best stories of just such an interesting childhood. And yeah, Gareth was a proper barefoot kind of run around plaskant.
That's so fascinating. Okay,
like I might be stretching it a bit, but I mean, he is. He's actually quite hardy. Yeah. So, morning, Ben. I can hear you guys today. Yay. Okay, take that, Martin, and the rest of you.
Oh, so you can hear us.
Live stream is working fine.
Amazing.
Nice, guys. See you. Make me feel better here. Sorry, back to that message there. Morning, Ben. I can hear you guys today. The cyborg dude, is the aerial detachable? Because if not, how the fuck does the dude sleep and shag?
And see, I don't think he's getting any action with that in his head.
Oh, puppy, that's a bit mean. That's a bit mean. You never know. Any news on the roads being blocked due to the strike? We'll have to check in with our traffic department on that one. Like, I don't know how this guy does make love or if there's a demand. I don't think it's detachable.
He's so polite.
I don't think... So he does have issues like going through airport security, that kind of stuff. But you can hear all about this in the third hour. Like Gareth said, they went through a whole... everything about this dude. He also basically wants to... Probably I get this. He wants to start, from what I heard from Gareth, he wants to start like his own sort of like... club culture slash
what
collection of people, collection of human slash cyborg individuals,
which so that
so then they can have like a trans species sort of kind of movement. Mm. Well, you get like transsexual people nowadays, and you get people like everyone's got their thing.
You went from transsexual to cyborg. Who are you?
Well, I was using the word trans just to kind of keep it topical. Michelle says, Ben, yesterday was very
What's the word?
Well, see, it's Michelle's gone for aggravating and annoying. Only one go here. Yesterday was very annoying not being able to listen. Glad you're back. Also, Poppy, thanks for coming back.
Oh, thank you for having me. That's
okay,
sweet.
So generally everything seems to be okay. Relax, Ben. I'm listening live. The chap needs a new phone. You pick that ball up, champ. See, so nice. Can only go well with such a supportive audience. Right. I don't know where to start from there. I've got so much. Okay, Poppy, as you know, I've in the 10 days maybe I've known you, I've been watching lots of videos in your presence, and I told you about doing videos. I loved YouTube. I'm kind of obsessed with YouTube. That's where I get all my entertainment from. And recently I found a guy called Nathan Fielder. Have you ever heard of this guy?
No, but I'm going to Google him.
Oh, this is one of the most interesting things I've seen in quite some time. So I've missed the boat on this guy, which is, it happens.
Yeah.
Internet being what it is, there are superstars all over the place you'll never hear about. It's nice to be able to share some with you on the show. And of course, on the show, we also share things about TV shows with you. So Comedy Central has a show called Nathan For You. It's called this guy, Nathan Fielder. He's like a business major from Canada, and he's got such an interesting take on life. He's almost got like a Rowan Atkinson, Mr. Bean sort of dry humor and sort of mannerisms about him.
Okay.
But he's got an obsession with small businesses. He just wants to give people a helping hand. And he's just got this way about him, which is just so interesting. So he goes to these businesses and they are struggling. Something's not going right. And then he gives them like these way out left field business kind of plans.
Okay.
But they are so incredibly weird. But
to help the business.
Yes, to help the business. They are so incredibly weird. However, when you think about it, he actually kind of nails it. So there's about 50 examples that I could share with you, and it's quite difficult because these clips are quite long, but I have to play something for you. And what I do suggest is that this week you do just go and just Google this guy, find out more of his stuff. It's so entertaining. I must have watched about 8 of these things yesterday.
Jeez.
Because I try ration myself to like half an hour a day of YouTube for referencing for content. Obviously with me hosting the show this week, I need more stuff, but this dude is just so clever. So here he is. He went to a maid business. So obviously in America, it's a bit more of an expensive pastime than, say, in South Africa to get someone to clean your house.
Uh-huh.
And he had this plan And so I'm just going to use this as one of the examples.
The Help Maid service in Glendale, California, offer her customers a speedier clean.
Nathan, how are you doing?
I always do a weak handshake up front to establish that I'm not a threat.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, that's just nice.
Something, yeah.
Oh, cool.
And after some small talk, we got down to business.
A lot of people just want two people there for 2 hours, and they usually can do a general cleaning of things.
So one maid takes 4 hours, two maids takes 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
By that logic, 40 maids could clean a house in 6 minutes.
Yes.
So his major gripe is that when someone comes to clean his house, he has to be out of the house the whole day. Or if he's working from home, he keeps being moved from room to room.
Sure.
So in his mind, he wants to create a service where you can literally go out for a cup of coffee and all this can happen.
What?
So he goes to this woman's face. So these are real businesses, real people, real situations.
Could clean a house in 6 minutes.
Yes.
By offering to clean houses 40 maids at a time, Candy would not only double the amount of jobs she could do in a day, but her customers would likely pay a premium fee for a service that allows them to have a spotless home in the time it takes to go out and grab a cup of coffee. The plan? For the Help to offer the fastest clean in the country with 40 maids.
Well, if a customer, asks for that, if they want 20 people, 40 people in their house, I could provide it because I have the teams, but they've never really asked for a turbo clean or anything like that.
No one knows to ask for something that hasn't been invented yet.
I don't know how it would work.
So all these people that he goes and has these chats with, they're all very skeptical. They all think this is very strange. But then he'll then just sort of throw them into the deep end of stuff and say, no, this is what's going to happen. So he gets this giant bus. And he literally calls the company 40 maids. He puts 40 maids into a bus. And then he just arrives at this guy's house thinking that they can get it all done in like 8 minutes.
In the hands of a bus full of maids.
All right, ready? Go! Faster, go, 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 go. Pick up the pace.
But it's just interesting reasoning how you can then do an entire street, basically.
Once all 40 maids were out, I brought Jim in to see if he was satisfied with his clean.
It hasn't looked this good since we moved in, realistically. It hasn't looked this good since we moved in. And this place was dirty, too.
Yeah, it looked terrible.
But combined with all these good ideas and just taking very unconventional thinking, he's got this real great comedy about him, this real dry sense of humor. But one of the other great things was he went to a caricature who wasn't making much money.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, look, you're in the business of insult comedy because a caricature is not flattering.
Sure.
It's over exaggerated. All your worst features are kind of prompted. So he says, you've got to be even edgy. You've got to be like so mean to people and then they'll love you. So they go to Venice Beach. And again, this is a completely unscripted. It's all very dry. Throws it out there. This lovely old man who's been drawing caricatures his whole life, but no one really knows who he is, starts drawing the crudest, most out there, revolting things about people. And everybody absolutely loves him. But probably one of the best and one of the most well-known of all his things is that he found this removal company wasn't really making enough money. So all the money for the removal company was going towards getting staff because it's a very manual, labor-intensive kind of business.
Mm-hmm.
So he had an idea. Where's this gone now? He had an idea of turning this whole thing into like a new fitness craze. So rather than this fitness removal company paying people to then do the removals themselves, he was saying that, well, why don't we create a fitness craze and the people will come and work for you for free.
Ah.
So pretty smart, huh? Sorry, I had this thing.
How old is this guy?
Tab went away.
And why does he look so familiar? Because I know him from somewhere and it's not YouTube.
Are they like these comedians, they throw themselves all over the place. Like basically all over the place. So before we get into the five things you need to know, I'm just going to play a little bit of this clip. And if we have time later, I'll get more into it. But so this is the removal company pitch that he went in. So he literally has this, every episode starts with him pitching something to these companies.
If you need to move to a different house, you might call City of Angels, an up-and-coming moving company that serves the LA area. But lately, owner David Sassoonian has been finding it hard to stay profitable with the rising cost of labor in his industry.
For us, our most expensive cost is our employees, for sure.
But after spending some time watching David's movers, I realized there might be a simple solution to all of his problems. So I paid him a visit to see if I could help.
Your movers are very in shape.
Our guys are in shape, yeah, the time.
Lifting all those boxes and furniture, that's a great way to get fit.
Yeah, the guys are getting a great workout. They're always getting a great workout.
And that's the idea. You see, the average gym member in America spends over $700 a year to perform physical labor that's very similar to the work that David's employees do. So if we can make a convincing argument that moving boxes and furniture from house to house is a better workout than going to the gym, David could tap into an endless supply of labor that would actually pay him for the opportunity to move stuff. The plan? Turn the job of moving into America's next fitness craze.
See, there's always that like that cringy silence when he gives these guys this plan and they
because
look at him.
Because they're like, what the hell are you trying to do here? I'd like to know how many of these business plans actually work. What's the success rate?
Yeah, I need to look into that.
I don't usually pay to work for somebody else.
I think you'll get a lot more people if they just think it's a workout and we don't tell them that they're actually doing free labor. I mean, that's just my opinion as someone who knows a lot about marketing.
I don't know. I don't know if I can convince people to do that.
David was skeptical, but agreed to give me the chance to prove that this would work. Launching a fitness craze, however, would be no easy task. I didn't know much about this stuff, but it seemed like every popular workout was based around a charismatic figure who's a living example of what the workout can do. I know I'm charismatic, and since the workout was my idea anyways, I thought it would be easiest if I just did it. But after reviewing the promotional images I took, I realized I just didn't have the body to be a convincing fitness authority. So I sent my producers to a local fitness convention, and they found a professional bodybuilder who seemed interested in being a spokesperson. So later that week, I brought him into my office to see if he could impress me enough to get the job.
I'm older, but watch me. Look at me.
They find this bodybuilder, but he's like quite an old, crusty, tattooed bodybuilder.
Uh-huh.
So he looks legit. And they're spinning this whole story.
This is an opportunity, really, for me to...
And he obviously takes the bait straight away.
Things, but what I really cared about was his body.
Now he's just flexing in his office. This is so... It's such a well-put-together show.
Oh my gosh, that is hilarious. Oh, shame.
Yeah, seems like you got a good bod.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Jack got the job, and because his role as spokesman would be so crucial, I prepared an extensive contract for him to sign.
In the event of your death, we would have the rights to your
name,
likeness, DNA as well.
Okay.
Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
With Jack on board, I walked him through my concept for a new workout called The Movement that would consist entirely of moving boxes and furniture from one location to another. My plan was to position Jack as the guru behind this workout in the hopes I could convince people he got his amazing physique solely from lifting household items.
Let's see some attitude. Beautiful.
And to really sell this idea, I hired an obese lookalike to pose as Jack before he lost the weight. Now that the movement had its figurehead, I wanted to legitimize Jack with his own book. So to get the job done quickly, I contacted a ghostwriter who advertised his services on Craigslist and invited him to my office to see if he was right for the task.
What I'm looking for is someone who knows a lot about fitness.
Okay.
Is that you?
Yes.
You know, for my own due diligence, I need to know you're a good writer before hiring you, obviously.
Yeah.
So can you come up with an original sentence right now?
I've actually got to get back to this in the second hour. So essentially, what this guy does is he cuts through all the bullshit in life and he finds ways that we can just manipulate people into thinking certain things. And if you go on to just Google the book called The Movement, they actually do create a completely fictional book around this guy. He was friends with Steve Jobs growing up. He has done a lot of community work, as he calls them, with jungle children, until one of them got taken away and eaten by a baboon.
Oh my gosh.
There's a full-on backstory. This guy, we'll get into the second hour. I just find it fascinating. This is the height of creativity, and it's just so ballsy. All in the name of just extreme comedy. Because like we love on the show, we love giving ideas for strange businesses, and a lot of the time we have good ideas as we kind of throw away things here. And this guy, I think, is taking it to the whole new level. But yeah, that is that's the start of the show today. We've got so many more news, like great news stories and things to go, including a Backstreet Boys rape case. Do you hear about this?
No. I'm just trying to see if I'm connecting the right stories. No, I haven't heard about this. What is the story?
Me either. Nick Carter. So yes. He somehow slipped through the whole Me Too movement, but nope, there is some other weight becoming kind of unavoidable around the story.
So is he the victim?
He is not the victim. I know the Backstreet Boys by name sound quite perilous for many other men to hang around them, but no, he's very much not the victim. Because at the moment,
he's
obviously
the perpetrator.
Yeah, so obviously Morgan Freeman's catching quite a lot of flack for just being a sort of like a creepy old man. But then there's a Backstreet Boy in this whole thing too. Anyway, first we get to the five things you need to know. Poppy, what is happening?
Have you seen this Thai soccer team that was trapped in a cave story?
No.
Okay, so these boys went missing 9 days ago. Now they've been found. They were trapped in a cave. They, in essence, the story is so bizarre. 25-year-old coach, about 13 boys between the ages of 11 and 16, after soccer practice, went exploring in some caves and then got lost. And there's been 9 days of rescue operations going on. But yesterday, they were actually found in a cave. Get this, though, because I was watching footage of this last night on TV. That it's going to take a couple of months now to rescue the boys because there's water in this cave and boys are going to have to either dive out. In fact, they're still trying to figure out how to rescue the boys, but they haven't eaten in 9 days and they're still trying to get food to the boys. But how crazy is that, that apparently that they've got the Navy SEALs now on board as part of this rescue operation, because it's just such a fragile operation to get these boys out of there that they're going to have to, I don't know, dive out because the water's so high up in this cave for them to get out. So it's quite a huge story. How many boys again? I think 13 boys and their assistant coach who's going to get fired for sure after this.
Well, yeah, you as a parental figure, I don't think you've done particularly well here. But Charles, with these caves and that kind of stuff, there's a lot of dark waters. You never know where you're really going as
well. Exactly. And also now they look barefoot in some of the footage because I don't know what was going on here. Maybe they play soccer barefoot. That could be it. Mm. But they just look like they just went wandering off. It's a weird one.
There's another movie in the process though, huh?
Exactly. And they better use these boys because they could do with the money by the looks of things. Yeah. I did not say that. Secondly, are you following the SARS Tom Moyane Judge Nugent dismissal vibe? So what's happening is that there's a SARS commission of inquiry going on at the moment. And of course, Tom Moyane was one of the people that was identified as just a guy that's not the one to mess with and just all over the show in terms of how he ran SARS when he was in charge of SARS.
Well, that was kind of the outtake here, is that SARS was an incredibly efficient organization.
Until he came along.
When it came to tax and compliance and all these kind of things, it was actually one of the leaders in the world. Tom Moyane came onto the scene, as did State Capture and all that kind of stuff, because the whole thing about State Capture and why it was so efficient is because there were role players in key areas.
Exactly.
So if you want to capture a state, you're not just going to have 10 rowdy people looking to loot the coffers. You need people strategically undermining processes. So Tom Moyane
was one of them, and
the whole place.
He, in fact, is supposed to be under investigation for something else, but this inquiry is going ahead with or without him. So retired Judge Robert Nugent dismissed all of the demands that he was making for the SARS Commission to be suspended. And what's weird for me is, I don't know if you remember, a couple of months ago, he came out saying that he would be represented by advocate Dali Mpofu. And I think, and I stand under correction because I don't know the facts about this whole thing, in terms of being asked to represent someone as an advocate, you can't say no, because this seems a bit weird for advocate Dali Mpofu, one, to take on. And then it not only did the judge dismiss this application, he also found that some of the heads of argument were just ridiculous, and it's not usually how Dali Mpofu plays the game. He's really good at what he does, but in this instance, it's not looking good for him either, which I think is quite damning. But yeah.
I agree with you. I think he's picked his cases wisely because, I mean, he's...
Can you pick your cases, though?
I'm pretty sure you can, like anything in a free trade.
So then why would he take
trade.
This on? Because he knows, as
good question.
Part of the EFF, they were fighting state capture.
Yeah, many people are asking this.
I was even like, so what's going to happen now? How do you represent someone when you know that they're lying as well?
But you make a good point, though, because if the EFF... Their major thing was that they were against state capture, they were against Zuma. That was their whole thing. They were looking to liberate the country from the stranglehold of corruption. But here you've got probably one of their more sort of famous...
The people's advocate.
Exactly.
I did tweet, I remember, when this did come to light, and I think your judge, advocate in Balfour, did tweet me back, and he said something to that effect, that you take the cases that come to you, and that's... how it works, apparently.
Well, I stand to be corrected, but I'm pretty sure you can still choose which way you go.
And if there's a conflict of interest, what happens then? Yeah. Anyways, so there's an archbishop who's been sentenced for concealing child sex abuse in the Catholic Church. His name is Philip Wilson, and he's been sentenced to, I think, 12 months of house arrest, which I think is quite... awesome, because there, you know, there's this whole thing with the Catholic Church and child sex abuse that's just rampant. And this is the first one, I think, where they've kind of sentenced someone for concealing child sex abuse, which happened in the 1970s. So this guy, even then, 50 years ago, this was still happening. Mm-hmm. And he's been sentenced to 12 months of home detention, is what they're calling it. He's probably obviously going to avoid jail, but I think that this is a step in the right direction for things like this. Well, now they need to actually prosecute the people that are the offenders too.
Well, exactly. And there's no ways people can keep turning a blind eye to this. It's been rife for quite some time. You know, the whole thing that the church has certain... kind of double standards or special rules, you know, like the whole they don't pay tax.
Yeah.
Yet you see these guys raking in a whole bunch of money. Now we've seen that with those charismatic American preachers, because they're not paying tax, they're just living their life. But the whole thing about this whole molestation of children, it's not new.
It isn't.
Like, it's not a surprise when we hear these stories anymore. It's almost more expected than not expected.
Yep.
So I think house arrest is very lenient, because what's he going to do? He's probably just going to sit there and watch child porn. Unless they're really tapping into his VPN or whatever. It's not too much of a stretch of thinking he might be doing that.
And then in other dumb news, in the most dumbest of news, this woman that was feeding a shark that got pulled into the water. You have to check out the video.
Gosh.
34-year-old woman feeding sharks on a yacht, living her best life. And then a shark came along and bit her finger off and yanked her into the water. You will learn not to feed sharks.
Yeah, you know, we've seen quite a few videos of late of people going on safari or going to lion parks and trying to stroke the big kitty. Not a big kitty. Savage man-eating beast.
Exactly.
It's kind of the same, if not times 17, with great white sharks.
Yeah.
Or any shark, really.
It's a tawny shark, apparently.
Tawny, ragged tooth, blue bull.
Shark.
Shark. Shark, shark as in mate. Snake. Generally, just stay away from them.
And lion.
Yeah. Anything that's looking scary, stay away from them. Oh my God, is that puppy? Those are five things.
I gave you four.
Okay, well, here's fifth.
Yeah, what is the fourth?
Okay, so our listeners are really on the button here. This is from Dr. Jonathan Witt, who's an incredibly intelligent man. Plus, he is the co-host of the Renegade Report. He says, advocates can't pick their cases.
See.
Okay, well, there we go. Spot on. Don't ever listen to me about legal stuff. It's called the cab rank rule. You can only refuse a brief of you if you have a good reason to, not including personal choice. Also, Mpofu isn't a great advocate, so no surprise he has his ass handed to him.
But he's won most of his other cases.
Yeah, but that's just, I added that for sensational effect.
Oh, okay. That was your opinion?
No. So, you're spot on. I guess he's in the firing line for these kind of cases.
So my question then is, if he believed before he was asked to take this case that Tom Yanni is guilty of whatever at SARS, how does he spin the arguments now? Is that maybe where the skill comes in, is the lying? And so now... are we okay with him, kind of?
You're asking all the right questions here. I'm on board with you.
Just the truth.
It is, because, but then again, if you can decline a case on personal reasons, is this not a personal reasons that it goes against the ethos of his political party he's aligned to?
Dude,
but again,
South Africa.
But again, and now this is, of course, I'm gross speculation on my part, that him and his party and all these kind of things do have stand-up sort of morals.
Can't we get him in here? I like him.
We all like him. He was in here. Very charismatic gent.
Mm.
He got Kisa Rabada to play cricket again. So, yeah, I mean, everyone loves him.
He's great.
All right. Speaking of, you were saying about sharks and lions, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The Kruger National Park and sand parks, they have this really great Instagram account. Yesterday, I saw one of the most incredible things. There was this giant king cobra trying to eat a giant lizard. And when I say giant lizard, as in,
ew, that just basically, gave me the goosebumps.
Basically, if we were to be on all fours trying to like cross a road, there was a king cobra trying to eat it. I watched this thing like four times. I was fascinated by it, the circle of life and how mean it is.
So
like,
who
snakes,
won?
Snakes are such dicks. Like, what's he going to do? He's not going to eat the guy. He's way too big. But there he is, just pumping all his venom into him.
That's so fascinating.
Sorry, I just had that thought. I thought I'd share it with you.
I'm looking for the video as you
speak. Yeah, on Instagram. It's very good because what they do is that they're obviously sharing experiences when you go into the wild. And yeah. So we must get into some sport because, of course, the World Cup, it's all guns blazing. That game yesterday. Brazil dispatched at Mexico 2-0. Kind of expected. No real surprise there. And, of course, Neymar was falling around and play acting again. Again, no real surprises there. Neymar did score. Blah, 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 blah. The big game of the week, of the day, was Japan versus Belgium. Now, everyone, again, thought that Belgium, total favourites to win here, that they would do the business against Japan, who, quite frankly, many were saying were lucky to get out of the group stages. You know, there was a poll done in the Japanese public prior to the World Cup, and 90% of all Japanese people said there's not a chance these guys are making it past the group stage. They were missing a few key, players.
Sure.
There was no hope, and there they were. They got through the group stages. Then, into the second half, they were 2-0 up, and Belgium were looking at one of the most unlikely situations is you've got a star-studded team, you've got international talents across the board of that team. They really are quite something, from their goalkeeper through to Lukaku in the front. These are guys who are very sought after by all the big clubs in the world. And the Japanese are 2-0 up, but then an incredible comeback. The greatest World Cup comeback since 1970, in fact. Belgium won 3-2. Right at the death, they got a goal before having to go into the dreaded extra times. So well done for Belgium to being so entertaining. Hard luck to Japan. I mean, this is the harsh part about football. Now, when Sergio Ramos cries and some other people cry, you don't care. In fact, you actually quite enjoy it because they're dickheads. But the Japanese team, they're a bunch of just likable triers, mostly because none of the players are real household names, because you don't see them playing Champions League or anything like that. And they just stood on that pitch and they were just, it's so crestfallen. They were just looking so empty and so out of love. They just needed like a big hug.
Oh.
Unfortunately, Gord was in bed sickly, so he couldn't go over and do that. So that's how yesterday went. Now today is the final round of the round of 16 matches. So we get to see Sweden versus Switzerland. Now that'll be today at 4:00.
Switzerland should win this.
Yes, they are very much, that's my pick, it's the favorites pick. You got to think they will do it. Although Sweden did top their group, but that was more to do with the fact that Germany were just complete and utter crap, and Mexico faltered towards the end. So that'll be at 4:00 there. That's a biggie. They're all biggies at this stage. Then we got Colombia versus England. Now, England didn't pick their first choice team last time out. Belgium didn't pick their first choice team last time out. And Belgium were rusty. Let's be honest. They were 2-0 down for a reason. Now, when you get to the World Cup, and this is my theory and I'm going to go with it, seeing as I'm the one talking about sport right now, but fight me if you will. Contest it if you will. When you get to a World Cup as an international team, you're hardly ever going to be a cohesive unit. Now, there was a stat that prior to the Portugal game, Uruguay had not conceded a goal in all of 2018.
Wow.
Big deal, huh? Well, not really, because they've only played two games prior to the World Cup. So they didn't concede a goal in all of six matches.
Okay.
So when you get to a World Cup, you don't know some of the players in your team. Like a lot of these players, you'll have, okay, Belgium is an example of everyone kind of knows each other because they're all playing top flight football somewhere.
Okay.
But this English team, a lot of these guys don't play for the big English clubs. I mean, Man City's got like two English people, one of which I think is like the physio. So you need to get together and make this cohesive. So Belgium yesterday showed they were quite scratchy in the first sort of hour. England also chose to rest all their players, whether strategically or whatever the reason being, they needed time in this World Cup to be tested. Because now, if they mess up tonight, if they have an off night, that's it, World Cup over.
Sure.
Have an off night in the group stages, there's still a chance you can go through. Mm-hmm. So far they've played Tunisia, the might of Tunisia, and they won 2-1. Hurrah. Then they played Panama. They won 6-1. Hardly tested. Hardly stressful out here. So now you got guys like Harry Kane and Raheem Sterling. They haven't played a whole bunch in this World Cup. Now, it's do or die. 3rd of July, right here, 8 o'clock South African time tonight. Colombia versus England. Colombia, though, they're battle-hardened.
That's my team.
They lost the BSDs of the tournament. They lost their first game against Japan. And then they've had to really work their balls off. So these guys are going to come into this match battle-hardened, ready for action, knowing where the strengths and weaknesses of their team are. Mm-hmm. They've been put under pressure. They've had the whole pressure test. England are coming on here thinking, well, Harry Kane's great, and we'll just take it from there. And yes, that's correct. On paper, there is a good team. On paper, there is a lot going for these guys and this whole team vibe and that kind of stuff. But their second team lost to Belgium's second team, and now they've just been kicking the ball around in the training field. These guys can be as fit and hungry as you want, but as they're saying, cricket, it's nothing like being out in the middle. Yes, I just use a cricket analogy for football, but you know it makes sense. So those are your two big games today, and then that's it. That is the round of 16 done and dusted. Just looking ahead to the teams who have already qualified and the matchups they'll endure. 6th of July, which is Friday.
Yes.
Nailed it. Friday we'll see Uruguay versus France. Huge match that. You know, Kylian Mbappe, the young French superstar, he's donating all his pay essentially from the World Cup to charity.
I saw that.
Yeah, a young dude. He says, look, it's an absolute honor to play for a national team, so I'm going to just donate the money. But further to that, the whole English team is donating their money.
Oh.
Yeah. The EFF, the English Federation of Football or whatever, they have been donating money for quite some time now. And a lot of the time when they go to these big tournaments, they all just donate their pay.
Because they're good people?
And they're already so damn rich. Money.
Okay. Yeah.
Your move, France. Your move, sure. Brazil. I guess some of those guys in Brazil don't make much money. So Uruguay versus France. It'll be Friday at 4 o'clock. Friday doubleheader. Belgium versus Brazil. So we're only at the quarterfinal stage, but how about that for two massive matches on Friday?
Basically going to be after today, Switzerland's going to make it through. After today, Colombia's going to make it through. After Friday, Brazil's going to make it through. After Friday, what's the other team?
Uruguay, France.
Uruguay's going to make it through.
All right.
Picks. So that's the top four.
Picks with Poppy coming at you fast. Take them down. And then Saturday, there's still obviously with today's games to be revealed. Sweden versus Switzerland, Colombia versus England. Two winners, they will play on Saturday at 4 o'clock. And the other match on Sunday will be Russia versus Croatia.
Russia's going to the final. Mark my words.
You reckon because Vlad's got hitmen out of the...
He does.
He's got people in Spain, people in Croatia, whoever they're playing against.
He can make anything happen. Also, I just kind of feel like, firstly, you'll know, where have any of these Russian players been? Like, I don't recognize...
In Russia.
Anybody. I don't know any names.
No. I mean, look, I did quite a lot of preparation for all this tournament and a lot of content, and no one, again, gave the Russians much chance. And then there was rumors of the fact that they could be on steroids because they're running so hard, and a couple of the guys had some dubious tests in the past. And then suddenly they're playing against Spain, who didn't seem to want to put the ball in the goal. So, I don't know. I don't want to be that guy. And I don't want to be cynical around this. It's the World Cup. It's the one time that football maybe isn't dodgy, although it's owned by FIFA, so it's probably the dodgiest time of football. Anyway, that's how it all breaks down. And that is what you've got to look forward to for the World Cup today and going into the week. On to other sporting news. Wow, football news of a sensational nature. Now, last year, the Absa Premiership, which is obviously the PSL here in South Africa, which is the top flight football, there was huge scandal because Ajax had fielded a player who wasn't eligible. FIFA have some pretty strict rules about the fact you can only represent so many clubs in a season. So if you get transferred, like basically you don't want to be yo-yoing around clubs. You sure as hell don't want to be two clubs at one time. So they Tendai Ndoro. He was fielded by Ajax, and then it was seen that he was not eligible to be fielded, so therefore they were docked a whole bunch of points, and they were basically relegated from the PSL. That's it, gone. Here's a big team by nature, I guess. They've never been a top-performing team, have Ajax Cape Town. You know, they're not exactly in the same stratosphere as like a Wits, Sivasspor United, Orlando Pirates, Kaizer Chiefs, or obviously Sundowns. So they were literally thrown out on their ass, out of the whole Premier League, down to the Nationwide League One thingy. So much so, they weren't even in the playoff relegation battle. So Black Leopards won that. So the top team from the National First Division goes straight up, Highlands Park, straight up. The next two then take on the worst team in the PSL. So those three have a playoff relegation thing. We went through that. And Ajax wasn't part of any of this because they were thrown out. And as a result, Sivasspor United then made it into the top eight because of the points taken away from Ajax when this ineligible player was playing. I know it's a long story. I'm trying to make sense of it myself here. So then Sivasspor United went to the top eight, which means they get to play in the MTN 8, which is a big money spinner for them. But now, obviously, Ajax are throwing everything they've got into lawyers and to try and get this thing overturned. And yes, there was a ruling yesterday where the judge favoured, Judge Dennis Fisher ruled in favour of Ajax Cape Town in this whole ineligibility situation. So now we're in the off-season. The Black Leopards think they're playing in the top flight, but now they've been told, sorry, the judge actually has ruled against this whole movement, so Ajax are going to be kind of reinstated. So this is, I mean, I said it at the time, this is such an absolute clusterfuck for what's happening in local football, which isn't really in a great space anyway with potential match fixing. And like, there's some bad stories around this whole thing, but this story alone is enough to really derail any momentum going into the new season, which is, I mean, everyone suffers by this whole thing. So whether right or wrong, this whole thing has been throwing some turmoil right now.
How do the people who don't care for this suffer? Because now this was the top story on all news outlets yesterday, and I wasn't following until you explained it today.
Well, Poppy, it's just terrible management. Like, where's the efficiency in the ruling, the judging, all that kind of stuff? Like, would this happen in Europe is what I'm saying.
Okay.
You know, like, you've got to feel for, like, so Black Leopards, these guys, they played their asses off to get into this position, shame, right? By merit. And they were given all the right channels to be the best they can be.
Yeah.
They took it, and now they're planning. I mean, just think, if you're a Black Leopards player and you've been coming up the ranks, and it is hard as all hell to get the top flight in SA football.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is, once you're at the top flight, everything below is so significantly far away income-wise. So these guys can suddenly make some money.
Gotcha.
Nope. You're just going to be thrown back down there. So it's demoralizing. It's unsettling. And I know this isn't the end of the story, but it's a huge story. So if you're wondering why there's so much hoo-ha around Ajax Cape Town right now, well, it's that. And the PSL, well, they haven't exactly been fantastic in dealing with things with any sort of swift or decisive nature. So, wow, the story is just going to get worse and worse, I believe. Roger Federer started Wimbledon yesterday with a pretty easy win, as did Serena Williams. But the big talking point around Roger's 20th appearance at Wimbledon is that he's got a new clothing sponsor.
Who?
A Japanese company whose name I'll no doubt butcher, Uniqlo. It's Japanese clothing name.
So he left Nike.
Yeah. So they essentially, so his deal with Nike were, okay, he's been with him for ages, right? It's like forever and ever. Now, Roger's my age, he's 36, been with Nike for a long, long time. So basically, this new deal is worth $300 million over 10 years. Now, it's quite interesting because Roger, of course, as great as he is, he's number one seed at Wimbledon right now.
He's not going to be around.
He's not going to be around playing for that long. I don't know if these Japanese guys know this, but the Nike deal was only worth about $10 million. So that is quite a big jump. He's still wearing the Nike shoes, but he said he's open to more deals. He's not burning his bridges with Nike. He's had a great relationship with them. But this, just think of it, $300 million over 10 years. Suddenly he is now, he's going to like leapfrog guys like LeBron James and Cristiano Ronaldo in the earnings bracket. And when you're doing that, that's money. I mean, Roger does have about 23 kids, so I mean, he needs the money. But this is huge for a guy at this stage of his career to be able to command such a fee. But then again, obviously, when he finishes his career, there's many things that he's still going to be doing in and around the game. He's not going to be like Boris Becker, who's obviously going to be plunged into financial ruin. Roger's got it going on. And he might even win Wimbledon again. Who knows? Right, we're running out of time here. But yesterday I spoke about Chris Froome and the doping allegations and that kind of stuff.
What's happening?
Well, the case has now been dropped. but Froome expects huge confrontation throughout the tour. So Froome, of course, he's no stranger to all these allegations. There's been many people speculating about the fact that he was a pretty average cyclist going through the ranks. Suddenly he was then just springboarded to the top to take over from Sir Bradley Wiggins as the big, great British cycling hope. And then he won a whole bunch of Tour de France's. Now, when you win a whole bunch of Tour de France's, there's a very good chance you've taken drugs. That's not me saying that. Look at history. So he's under huge spotlight right now. You know, people have gone as far as to throw urine at him while he's cycling.
Sus. I would get off my bike and kick you.
You can't. You've got to win a race. But when you go through the Tour de France, now bear in mind that cycling is a massive sport in Europe. It's not just a couple of guys doing this for fitness reasons. Cycling is huge. Like, Europe doesn't play cricket. Europe doesn't really have a lot of summer sports because obviously they don't have much summer. But when it comes to cycling, it is fanatical. I've actually been to Tour de France. As I don't like cycling, I feel quite fortunate that my dad sort of dragged me around France when I was 12 years old to go and watch some of this. And you go to these towns and the whole town comes out. The town's shut down. It's a huge deal.
That's so cool.
And, Froome goes around and some of them might throw some bags of piss at him. It's as simple as that. Some people are even seen with massive giant inhalers running next to him because he's got more of that asthma clenbuterol, I think it is, in his system that is advisable. Sorry, salbutamol. So he's in for a tough time, but he's expecting it and he's saying bring it on, basically. Faf du Plessis is wanting tougher ball tampering punishments. Now, the interesting thing is that Faf has tampered with some balls of his own in the past.
Wow, that sounds so wrong.
He's got two counts of malicious ball tampering. But in his defense, and I've always said this as well, there needs to be better rules and stringent sort of reasoning around why a guy is ball tampering and why he's just shining. Now, I believe you should be able to shine the ball however the hell you want. It's the other side of the coin, which I'm not into, and that's the roughing up of the ball. So I think the ICC have just, okay, it's also another ballless union, basically. Wow, the ball puns are rolling out here. But they need to basically say, right, you can shine the ball however you want. You want to have a mint, you want to spit on it, you want to do whatever you want with this ball, go for it. Shine it as you wish. There shall be no picking of the seam. There shall be no altering of the shape. There shall be no altering of the abrasive texture of the ball. I think they can make that rule. That'll be a big step in the right direction. But the ICC are very sort of stuck in their ways and also love making bad ideas. So Faf's got a point here. And I think this ball tampering has unfortunately marred the game for quite some time. And most importantly, obviously, with the Sri Lankans and the sandpaper. But as recent as a few weeks ago, Dinesh Chandimal, the Sri Lankan captain, also in a spot of bother with the ball tampering. That's the extended sport for you today. We do not have any Gord. Gord's unfortunately a bit ill in bed. And he'll not be with us today. But we will be coming back with Gareth and Sia from London. We'll catch up with them and see what they've been up to. We got our new exciting feature with Taylor Blinds to get through as well. Plus, we've got... I've lost it again. There we go. Werner Becker's coming through as well. So that's all happening. Plus, if we do have time, definitely going to play more of that Nathan For You guy. You know, he also... He made a parody Starbucks coffee shop, which became a huge success. Again, Google dumb Starbucks. This guy has done so much. He's my new hero, as you can tell. But yeah, I need to write some blurbs. I need to take some photos. Poppy and I need to get a glass of water. It's been all action. But we're going to play some music and then come back, and then you'll be able to hear from Gareth and his gallivanting ways with young Sia, whose first time in London.
This is CliffCentral.com.